Then. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. We are deep in the bowels of Seattle, Washington, in the studios of KPTK, AM 1090. I want to thank everybody for setting this all up for us. We had a wonderful flight out here. Just when we got here, we had to circle for about half an hour while the terrorists were removed. Don't even say that. It was bad weather. So that was a lot of fun when you're circling. It's the first time I've ever gotten airsick. I don't mean I threw up or anything, but I just like, oh, God, please make this stop. Oh, it was awful. Oh, well. Speaking of God, where'd the story go? I've got this... I saw this the other day, and I thought, well, I'll take this with me to Seattle, and it'll be the first story out of the box. This really freaked me out. This happened this week, Wednesday or Thursday. I'm not sure what day this week it happened, but it was like an historic moment in the Senate chamber for the first time. In the first place, why are there prayer invocations in the Senate chamber or the House chamber to begin with? I'm totally against that. But it's not my club. It's their club. I just sometimes freak out on the Constitution. But anyway, for the first time ever, a Hindu priest, delivered the morning invocation in the Senate chamber. And guess what? He was disrupted by three Christian right-wing activists who knew he was going to give the invocation, traveled all the way from North Carolina to interrupt him. The three protesters belong to the anti-abortion group Operation Save America. That's Flip Benham's operation, I believe. Another criminal enterprise. They traveled to D.C. all the way from North Carolina, interrupted by loudly asking for God's forgiveness for allowing the false prayer of a Hindu in the Senate chamber. According to the blogger here, Eric Kleefeld, They started screaming their slogans during the prayer. The first protester said, "Lord Jesus, forgive us, Father, for allowing a prayer of the wicked, which is an abomination in your sight." And then he went on to say, "This is an abomination. We shall have no other gods before you." Senator Bob Casey, who was the Democrat from PA, who was the presiding officer for that morning, immediately ordered them out. Though they continued to scream and froth at the mouth at the Hindu cleric as they were headed out the door, shouting phrases such as, "No Lord but Jesus Christ, there's only one true God, and Allah is his name." No, they didn't say that last part, but you get the point. The cleric, Rajan Zed of Reno, Nevada. Zed? Okay. Was visibly nervous and uncomfortable, but he then delivered the morning prayer. Now, the three good Christians who were involved in this, they had the Operation Save America put out a press release almost immediately. So, the whole thing was planned. Ante Pavkovic and Kathy Pavkovic and Kristen Sugar were all arrested in the chambers. According to the press release put out by Operation Save America, they were arrested in the United States Senate as that chamber was violated by a false Hindu god.
Oh, no.
A false Hindu god invaded the Senate. Ah! The press release went on to say, "The Senate was opened with a Hindu prayer, placing the false god of Hinduism on a level playing field with the one true God, Jesus Christ. This never would have been allowed by our founding fathers." And then went on to say, "Not one senator had the backbone to stand as our founding fathers stood. They stood on the gospel of Jesus Christ. There were three in the audience with the courage to stand and proclaim, 'Thou shalt have no other gods before me.' They were immediately removed from the chambers, arrested, or in jail. God bless those who stand for Jesus. We know that he stands for them." Reverend Flip. And some of you people wonder why I'm an atheist. Oh, my get that Hindu. I wonder which Hindu god. See, Flip Benham shows his vast, utter ignorance. What Hindu god were they praying to, Flip? And I got an email here from Tracker. Is it Tracker? 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 He writes about, you know, the 26%, if it's that high, that still support the psychopathic killer in the Oval Office. Tracker writes, here's one of the 26%. And he writes, every time I see another presidential approval rate poll showing that over one quarter of Americans still approve of the job George Bush is doing as president, I scratch my head and try to imagine why. But I'll let this right-wing blogger explain his reasons why. Here it comes. I've been struck many times over the past several years by how clear and candid President Bush is in describing and explaining his policies. He said again today, this is the other day when he had his press briefing, he said again today that he welcomes a good, honest debate about the war. Unfortunately, however, there is no honest debate going on. Most Democrats want to lose in Iraq so they can blame the Republicans and gain political advantage. Some Republicans care less about whether we win or lose than about their election next year. Neither group is in a position to tell the American people honestly what it wants. So, President Bush is pretty much alone as the voice of reason and candor on the war. And Tracker writes, to get to this point, first you have to convince yourself that all Democrats who oppose the war do so because we selfishly and traitorously want to lose in Iraq for political gain. He says, I would be furious at this assumption if I didn't understand that this is how the conservatives would feel if the tables were turned on them. Once you can convince yourself that everyone who opposes the war is doing so for purely selfish reasons, this allows you to believe Bush is the only honest person left in the debate about the war. Notice, too, that this writer is also impressed with how clearly and candidly President Bush speaks. Yeah, I've always said that. Kathy always points that out when she plays the sound bites. It shows the clear, candid way. I think I may be ill again. President Bush on Thursday acknowledged publicly for the first time that someone in his administration likely leaked the name of the CIA operative, although he also said he hopes the controversy over his decision to spare prison for a former White House aide has, quote, run its course, end quote. At a White House news conference yesterday, Bush said, quote, and now we're going to move on, end quote. Now, you remember when Bush initially said he would fire anyone in his administration found to have publicly disclosed the identity of Valerie Plame? So now he says, and now we're going to move on. Get over it. Here's the translation for you. What Bush really said was, F you, America, and the democracy you wrote in on. And as my emailer writes here, this is what you get when you select a coke-snorting, drunken frat boy to the nation's highest office. We're going to move on? It's run its course? What do we come up with? Richard Armitage, the guy who did the wet work in Vietnam. He was in the State Department, Defense Department, during Vietnam, Richard Armitage. And I have a good authority that Armitage actually used his own hands to murder people. Not a gun, not a rifle, not a landmine. He didn't frag anyone. He actually strangled people to death. Richard Armitage. What else we got here? Anybody still with me? this stuff kind of backs up. This is like Friday night on this program is like when the commode in your house starts to back up, right? And you've got to get the plunger out and right? So that's what we're trying to do here. Did you hear Bin Laden's son, one of his sons, wants to enter the UK? A British grandmother is planning on marrying one of Bin Laden's sons and has applied for a visit to bring him to Great Britain. With five previous marriages behind her, Jane Felix Brown, who's 51, from Bolton, Cheshire, met 27-year-old Omar Osama bin Laden in Egypt in September, according to the Times of London. Her new husband is currently working as a scrap metal dealer in Jeddah in Saudi Arabia, while she applies for the visa so he can visit Britain. She just wants to marry the man she fell in love with, she says. Oh, my God. His dad is one of the most wanted men in the world. With what's the bounty on his head now? 50 million? 100 million? 200 million? This is his fourth eldest son, and Miss Felix Brown wants to marry him. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Cannonballs fly before they're forever banned. The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
It's about 21 past the hour. You're listening to The Malloy Show on Nova M Radio Network. We're coming to you tonight via the facilities at KPTK in Seattle. A couple more here, and then we'll get some phone calls. I promise at some point this evening we will. This was in a Raw story. This came out late this afternoon. This is the insanity. Anyone left out there, on right-wingers especially, whom I loathe, and that means all Republicans, who don't understand the madness of George W. Bush and Dick Cheney, the absolute insanity. Maybe this story will convince you. You remember the story of Pat Tillman, the former professional football player and Army corporal in Afghanistan. He died a hero's death, charging a machine gun nest, or whatever the hell the original story was. Turned out he was killed by one of his own people, an American soldier. It may have been deliberate. And the Bush crime family and the Defense Department knew the truth almost immediately, and yet they let the story go out, just like the Jessica Jessica Lynch story, which also was a lie. Well, Henry Waxman today revealed that the White House and the Pentagon are holding up a House Oversight and Government Reform Committee investigation, that's his committee, into the death of Pat Tillman. In a statement from Waxman, he says, quote, "The committee wrote to White House counsel Fred Fielding seeking all documents received or generated by any official in the executive office of the president relating to Corporal Tillman's death." But the Bush crime family, again, has invoked executive privilege to hold up the documents sought by Waxman and the ranking minority member, Tom Davis, Republican of Virginia. The committee noted, quote, "The White House counsel's office responded it would not provide the committee with documents that, quote, implicate executive branch confidentiality interests," end quote, and produced only two communications with the officials in the Defense Department, one of which was a package of news clippings. Jesus, these people have guts, don't they? The response of the Defense Department to the committee's inquiry was also deficient, end quote. In their letter to Fred Fielding, this corpse-like old man who has been defending treasonous Republican president since going back to Dick Nixon. In their letter to Fielding, Waxman and Davis doubted that these two documents were the limits of White House-Pentagon communications over Tillman's death. Come on, Fred, you've got more than this. We know you do. Waxman wrote, quote, "It is difficult to believe that these are the only two communications the White House officials had with Department of Defense between April 22nd, the day Corporal Tillman died, and May 20th, the day the Bush administration publicly announced that Corporal Tillman's death was a result of fratricide." The two members of Congress also explained what they believed was at stake in this investigation now. Here's what the Democrat and the Republican said, quote, "These questions have implications for the credibility of the information coming from the battlefields in Iraq and Afghanistan and raise significant policy issues about how to prevent the future dissemination of untrue information." I love it when they say untrue information. You know what that means, don't you? Yeah. I could say, you know, the modifier, but I promise not to curse. Lies. That's what untrue information is. Lies. Waxman and Davis went on in their note to Fielding. They also, these lies have a profound personal impact on the Tillman family. It's for these reasons that this committee requested documents from the White House. So, bottom line here, Waxman says he expects a response to the letter today, today's letter, by the 25th of July. And Waxman has also scheduled an additional hearing on the announcement of Tillman's death for August 1st. Jesus. This tidbit comes from our North Metro Atlanta military correspondent. I've decided that Sharon is our military correspondent. All right, what else we got here? Everybody still with me? Oh, heroes. Talk about heroes. Rudolph Giuliani, who is a rat and a louse. I don't care. I don't care that he's got gay friends. I don't care that he is willing to some degree to respect a woman's right to privacy. I don't care that he believes in some kind of responsible gun registration. He's still a rat and a louse. And I'll explain to you why coming back right after this break. Stay with us. Don't you even think about going away. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Before the hour. All right. The legend of Pat Tillman, of course, is really the legend of the lies and deception and half-truths and misdirection and misinformation and disinformation. Chapter 9412 of this corrupt, filthy Bush administration. And if you're a Giuliani fan, then you want more of the same. Giuliani, who tries to paint himself as America's mayor, striding through the debris and the rubble of the terrible attack on this country that was either allowed to happen or made to happen by the Bush crime family. Who knows? There he was, Rudy Giuliani. A hero. Not so fast. Giuliani was attacked by a group with perhaps a greater claim to heroism than he has in New York, and that's New York City's firefighters. According to Alex Massey, writing from Washington, according to angry New York firefighters, Giuliani's campaign for the Republican Party's nomination next year is based upon false pretenses. Firefighters say Giuliani has no right to cloak himself in the mantle of 9/11, still less to claim his track record on terrorism issues in New York qualifies him to become the next president. This sound familiar? Huh? Well, if it works for Bush, or at least Giuliani, apparently Giuliani doesn't read the polls on Bush. What's Bush down to now? 1 out of 4 Americans still support this thug. So here comes Giuliani, Bush too. You like Bush, you'll love Giuliani. According to a video posted on the internet at the International Association of Firefighters website, Giuliani is responsible for equipment failures. Are you sitting there? Are you sitting down? Giuliani is responsible for equipment failures that contributed to the deaths of 343 firefighters. Eh? Jim Riches, the father of one of the victims and a deputy New York fire chief, says on the video, he is running on 9/11 and it's a fallacy. He goes on to say that Giuliani has amassed a multi-million dollar fortune from speeches and consulting since 9/11. And Mr. Riches, who lost a son and is a deputy New York fire chief, says Giuliani is making blood money on the back of the tragedy. Go check it out. I don't have the exact website, the exact URL, but it's the International Association of Firefighters. 13-minute video is titled Rudy Giuliani Urban Legend. Firefighters that appear on the video are still serving. Some of them retired. They criticized Giuliani for failing to upgrade firefighters' equipment and say faulty radios and poor communications were largely responsible for the deaths of 121 firefighters in the North Tower. By the way, this article, Alex Massey writes for The Scotsman. It's not an American paper, The Scotsman. Goes on to say, although a report delivered to Giuliani on his first day in office, his first day explained that the fire department's handheld radios did not work in high-rise buildings or subway tunnels, the department was still using those radios in 2001. Mr. Riches, the deputy chief and father of one of the victims, also says virtually the whole thing goes back to him with the radios. He's the guy on top. My son is dead because of the lack of radios. Harold Schaeberger, general president of the International Association of Firefighters, said, quote, Giuliani's biggest problem is that this video is a bipartisan condemnation of his record on 9/11. And the video goes on to contain statements from leaders of the city's two largest firefighters' unions, both of whom say Giuliani became rich and famous as on his image as a post-11 September hero while ignoring their needs. Steve Cassidy, the president of the Uniform Firefighters Association, said, quote, this image of Rudy Giuliani as America's mayor is a myth. Peter Gorman, the president of the Uniform Fire Officers Association. Jesus, how many unions are there? Firemen. What's this, the fourth one? He adds, quote, he's making millions, tens of millions of dollars on the backs of my members. He's a New York Republican, obviously, with so-called moderate views on social subjects like gun control or gay marriage or a woman's right to privacy. And with that kind of a background, of course, Republicans, it's a wholly owned subsidiary of the religious right, would stampede all over him and just crush him into a little spot of red on the sidewalks of New York were it not for one thing. And that's his inspirational response to the tragedy of 9/11. I'm a hero! I'm just like George Bush! Here I am! So as a result, Giuliani mentions 9/11 wherever he campaigns. Just like Bush. Oh, here's a P.S. Guess who's on his foreign policy team? Giuliani's. Oh, my God. The senior foreign policy team member is now Norman Podhoretz. Somebody corrected me on how to say that. Podhoretz. Podhoretz. He's the guy who recently admitted gleefully that his plan to bomb Iran would, quote, unleash a wave of anti-Americanism all over the world that will make the anti-Americanism we've experienced so far look like a love fest, end quote. So Giuliani obviously has signed him up. Who else is on his foreign policy team? Well, there's Charles Hill, former executive aide to Reagan Secretary of State George Shultz. Oh, there's a wonderful name, Shultz. He will serve as chairman of the Senior Foreign Policy Advisory Board. So in addition to Podhoretz and Charles Hill, will be Steve Rosen, who will be the Senior Defense Advisor, Martin Kramer, Senior Middle East Advisor, S. Enders Wimbush, Senior Public Diplomacy Advisor, Peter Berkowitz, Senior Statecraft Advisor for Human Rights and Freedom, and Kim Holmes, Senior Foreign Policy Advisor. Good God! It just never stops, does it, huh? Giuliani! Rudy Giuliani! Another right-wing freak! Liar, coward, cheat, tough guy, huh? Tough guy. Yeah, when you're a federal attorney for New York, damn right you could be a tough guy. You got the full power of the federal government behind you. All of a sudden you're the mayor of New York and you're a little wimp, rat, little bastard, and your city is attacked by the Bush crime family. And hundreds of firefighters die because of your incompetence. Oops, I'm sorry. Because of your Republican Party affiliation. Excuse the redundancy. But these guys are right. He walks all over the corpses of these dead firefighters, doesn't he? Huh? Just like Bush. Every time Bush wants to make a statement, a play on the sympathies of the American public or the pity of the American public, he surrounds himself with military people, soldiers, sometimes even officers. He does, and so does Cheney. And you know what those guys and gals stacked behind them are thinking? Jesus, where's my weapon? Just continues. Goes on and on. Have you been following the testimony of former Surgeon General Dr. Richard Carmona as a lead up to the testimony of future Surgeon General Dr. Richard Carmona as a lead up to questioning of the soon-to-be Surgeon General, because the Democrats in Congress do not have the courage to tell Bush to take James Holsinger Jr.'s nomination and stuff it where the sun don't shine. But the testimony from the former Bush appointee, Richard Carmona, is astonishing. Even if you've gotten just terribly cynical about everything about the Bush administration, like I have, their relentless manipulation of science to fit their screwy right wing, the universe's 8,000-year-old ideological agenda, and as we mentioned on this program, how the political interference, not unlike the Soviet Politburo's interference in the Soviet Union, in every single agency. You have a political officer, every single agency of the Bush crime family, usually the head of the agency, and their sole function is to screw up the mandate, the directive of what the agency is supposed to be doing. The Justice Department, Interior Department, it just goes on and on. Bureau of Mines, it doesn't make any difference. None of these people are, not only are they not competent, they're put there to destroy this regulatory agency, including the Office of the Surgeon General. Now, what does the Surgeon General do? Actually, nothing. Except use the bully pulpit to try to advocate for public health. So what's been going on with Dr. Carmona, and what's going to come up with Dr. Holsinger? Oh, stick around. I'll tell you in a minute. You're going to love this. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. It's about 10 before the hour. And again, even if you've gotten cynical about the Bush crime family's manipulation of science, no matter what the science is, I don't care what the science is, they manipulate all of it. No science is legitimate to these people. None. But the decision to interfere as deeply as they did into the office of the Surgeon General, and the former Surgeon General now, Richard Carmona, Dr. Richard Carmona, is astonishing. What they did is try to turn Dr. Carmona into a propagandist. And when he refused to go along, the Bush crime family stopped him from speaking at all on a host of essential health issues. Now, this is coming out in the testimony. A lot of people say, well, good for him. No, to hell with Carmona. Why didn't he say something while this was going on and resign and let the American public know how even the office of the Surgeon General was being tampered with? Huh? Carmona told a House committee the other day that the Bush crime family would not allow him to speak on the science and the medical aspects of stem cell research, emergency contraception, the so-called morning after pill, comprehensive sex education. What happens to prisoners once they go into our criminal industrial complex? Mental health issues. Carmona said one of his reports on global health issues was stomped on, ripped up, because he refused to insert glowing references to the efforts of the Bush crime family. His report on prisoners' health care was held up for fear it would lead to demands for costly reforms. Screw them, they're prisoners! Let them rot! Unbelievable. Now, that's bad enough. You want to hear it get worse? Carmona was told to insert Bush's name at least three times on every page of his speeches. Jesus God! This sounds like Ceausescu in Romania before they took him and his wife out in the street and put bullets in them. Carmona was also told to make political speeches on behalf of Republican candidates. And then this, he was told not to speak to a group affiliated with the Special Olympics because of that charity's longtime association with the Kennedy family. Son of a bitch. I'm sorry. I really try not to cuss on the program, but this is just absolutely vile, disgusting, contemptible. But Bush's nominee, his new one, his new one told a Senate committee yesterday that he would resign if he were asked to put politics over science. Yeah. We've heard this before, right, from Gonzalez. What did Alberto Gonzalez say during his confirmation hearings? Oh, I'm against torture. What about Sammy the Fish Alito during his hearings to be on the Supreme Court? Oh, I believe in case law or long-established Supreme Court decisions. What did John Roberts, the quiet man, say? No, not me. I've never... Bomb, bomb, bomb. We've heard this before. So now the newest thug... would-be thug in the Bush crime family, Dr. James Holsinger, testified at his confirmation hearing yesterday that he would support bans on the advertising of prescription drugs and sugary children's cereals. Oh, really? You know that's a filthy lie. Who? Show me a Republican. Show me a member of the Bush crime family who would support a ban on the advertising of anything. Prescription drugs. Oh, stop it, Holsinger. The entire Bush crime family is partially underwritten by pharmaceutical companies. Stop it. And sugary children's cereals? Oh, well, that's a real winner there. Yeah. Oh, we've been talking about that for, what, 35 years? He also says that high school students should be told that condoms are an appropriate form of birth control. Oh, yeah, that's what he told the committee. Can you see this guy? This is a Bush appointee or nominee. Can you see him getting the word out? Can you see Flip Benham's organization and Focus on the Family and Focus on Your Mama and Focus on Your Daddy's Penis and all these other crazed right-wing operations saying, what?
He's going to promote condom use. Oh, no, he's not.
Oh, he also said he was not anti-gay.
No, of course you're not. Of course you're not.
He said in his testimony, "I can only say that I have a deep appreciation for the essential human dignity of all people, regardless of background or sexual orientation, you know, except the queers. Should I be confirmed a Surgeon General, I pledge to you to continue that commitment, you know, except to the queers." Oh, bastards. Well, again and again, it says here in the New York Times, again and again, senators asked Dr. Holsinger whether he could stand up to the kind of political pressure that Richard Carmona got. Indeed, Senator Kennedy, who is chairman of the Health Committee, began the hearing by announcing that he would soon introduce legislation to insulate the Surgeon General's office from political meddling. Can you believe that? We have to have laws for this now. Bernie Sanders, independent from Vermont, told Dr. Holsinger that, quote, "What happened to Dr. Carmona sounds more like what would happen under Stalinist Russia." Close, Senator Sanders. Close. All right, we'll be back after the break here at the top of the hour. Stick around. We have miles to go before we sleep. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Seekers, it is about 6 and a half past the hour. You're listening to the Malloy program on the Nova M Radio Network. We're coming to you tonight from Seattle, from the facilities, as they say, of KPTK, one of our affiliates. A little bit more on Holsinger, the nominee to be the new Surgeon General, and Carmona. The one who was told to mention Bush's name on three times on every page of anything he wrote. This is astonishing stuff. There were five or six letters to the editor in the New York Times today, or was it yesterday? No, I think it was today, about this very issue. And this one is from a guy named Frank Landy. He writes to the Times, "I am a scientist who traveled to and lived in Romania between 1980 and 1990 while the brutal Stalinist dictator Nicolae Ceausescu and his wife Elena ruled the country during most of that period. Every scientist was required to cite both Ceausescu's liberally in any papers they published or speeches they delivered. The Romanian secret police listened to every speech and scoured every scientific paper to make sure this rule was followed. Violation of the rule led to catastrophic occupational consequences for the scientist. Your July 11th article recounting the requirement that President Bush's name be mentioned three times on every page of speeches by Dr. Richard Carmona, the former Surgeon General, was reminiscent of the Ceausescu government. But at least Dr. Carmona was not required to mention Laura Bush as well, so I guess that is some progress." Oh my God. One more here. This is from excuse me, Joseph McInerney, who writes, "As one who has made his living in science education for 30 years, I expected to be distressed when I read the article about yet more political interference by the Bush administration in a science-based agency. I was thoroughly appalled, however, to learn that, quote, administration officials, end quote, discouraged Surgeon General Richard Carmona from attending the Special Olympics because of that charitable organization's longtime ties to a prominent family, the Kennedys. It was my honor to work with children in the Special Olympics years ago, and I'm deeply saddened but hardly surprised to learn that those who trumped traditional family values would deny assistance to disabled people in the name of political pettiness. I mean, these people are like, I don't know. I've run out of adjectives. I've run through the animal kingdom. They're like sponges, worms, mollusks, sea spiders. I don't know what this Bush crime family. There are no words to describe the level to which these bastards sink. For this political insanity, what is the point here? What's the point in telling the Surgeon General every page of everything you write must cite George Bush at least three times? What in the hell is that? Oh, I know, there's a word for it. And the last letter here, this is from Elizabeth Alexander, director of the ACLU nationally, she writes, the New York Times is correct to criticize the Bush administration for censoring essential information about health care for Americans. Regarding Dr. Carmona, as a prisoner's rights lawyer, I was particularly disturbed that the Bush administration prevented the release of a report by the Surgeon General on prison health care. Deficient medical care is a leading cause of death among prisoners in this country. The American Civil Liberties Union works to ensure through the courts that even basic care is provided to people in prison. We see cases where prisoners die of untreated gangrene, where their HIV medications are continuously interrupted, and where constant delays in treatment lead to the unnecessary spread of deadly cancers. The Bush administration is seeking to prevent Congress and the public from knowing what is happening behind prison walls and refusing to take responsibility for providing health care to America's most vulnerable. This is un-American. Congress should ensure that the Surgeon General's report is released immediately so that this national crisis is openly addressed. Elizabeth Alexander, Director, ACLU, National Prison Project. Ms. Alexander, it's not going to happen. Because, you know, the right-wing, the Republican attitude, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. If you are eaten up with disease, then don't wind up in prison. Of course, the fact that thousands upon thousands, what do we have, 2 million people in prison now in this country? We lock up more people now than any other, quote, civilized, end quote, nation on the planet. But how many of those people are really innocent? 10%? Is that too many? 20? Is that just unheard of? 30? How many people in prison are innocent? I mean, really innocent, not on technicality, but innocent. Every time you turn around, there's another person who has served 19 years, 20 years, 30 years in prison for rape or murder or a combination. And all of a sudden, the DNA tests come back. Hey, this guy didn't do it. And he's been saying for 25 years, I didn't do it. But you see, to the Republicans, everyone in prison is guilty. Otherwise, they wouldn't be there. Okay. Michael Feldman, who is the host of the PRI radio program, What Do You Know?, has written a new Hippocratic Oath based on all the stuff that's come down with Carmona. Here it is. I swear by Apollo Physician and Asclepius, and Hygieia, and President Bush, and all the gods and goddesses, making them my witnesses, that I will fulfill, according to my and President Bush's ability and judgment, this oath and covenant. To hold President Bush, who has taught me this art, as equal to my parents, and to live my life in partnership with him. And if he is in need of money, to give him a share of mine, and to regard his offspring as equal to my brothers in male lineage, and to teach them this art, if they desire to learn it, without fee and covenant. To give a share of precepts and oral instructions and all the other learning to President Bush and to the sons and or daughters of President Bush who has instructed me and to pupils who have signed the covenant and have taken an oath according to the medical law, but no one else. I will apply dietetic measures for the benefit of the sick according to my ability and judgment and that of President Bush. I will keep him from harm and injustice. Whatever houses I may visit, I will come for the benefit of President Bush, remaining free of all intentional injustice, mischief, and in particular of sexual relations with both female and male persons. What I may see or hear in the course of the treatment, or even outside of the treatment in regard to President Bush, which on no account one must spread abroad, I will keep to myself. If I fulfill this oath and do not violate it, may President Bush grant to me to enjoy life and art, being honored with fame among all men for all time to come. If I transgress it and swear falsely, may President Bush's be my lot. Woo! Michael Feldman, the host of the Public Radio International program. What do you know? All right. Enough exciting and stimulating conversation for me. We're going to take some phone calls here. I've been wondering whatever happened to our old friend from the movies, Sling Blade. Do you remember Sling Blade, Carl Childers? Remember Carl? Oh, God. He's on the line, and we're going to take him in a minute, but I have to tamp down the chill factor before I bring old Carl on. Haven't heard from him. I hope he was not re-incarcerated for something. Also, before the program's over tonight, we want to get, I don't know why, but just a little bit more into the Iraq situation. You really don't want to, though, do you, Truth Seeker? You've had enough. All right, let's take a break here, and when we come back, we'll do some phone calls. It appears that there's some very interesting names up on the screen here. Sling Blade's back, huh? Oh, God. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back, Truth Seekers. All right, we have a couple more topics I want to get to, but let's do some phone calls because, like I said, I see some very interesting people on hold here. All right, let's start with Carl Childers, or as you know him from the movie, Sling Blade, who is claims he's calling from Columbus, Ohio. Charles, how are you? Or Carl, how are you?
I got ahead, but I ain't been incarcerated, you know.
You haven't? Good. Well, I'm
no.
You're still maintaining out of the institution.
Yeah. You know, I ain't got what you since you got everyone else at Air America fired and changed the network name to Nova M. Been a long time.
Well, very few people have figured that out. I'm glad you figured it out, though.
But, you know, see, for some reason, I heard Mike Gravel on your show, and it stirred me to call. I guess, you know, like he said, we're both progressive. We think outside the box. That's what he said a progressive does.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
I ain't made up my mind to run, but I'm working on some issues, more ways than one, you know. Mm-hmm.
You like Senator Gravel?
Well, we got some differences, but we're also the same in some ways.
Yeah?
But I was working on the idea of them plug-in electric cars, but, you know, I couldn't get past the problem. The extension cord strewn out over the highway.
I know. That's a real bitch. You have, and plus they got to be real long.
Right. So I've been designing a car fueled by cat food. Mm-hmm.
A car that what?
Runs on cat food.
Imagine
putting meow mix in your tank and having kibbles and bits coming out the other end.
No.
In the meantime, you're getting somewhere. Mm-hmm.
No, it's driblets coming out the end.
Well, who come up with that crazy idea?
Well, that was Bush. It wasn't kibbles and bits. It was driblets.
Oh, you're going to eat driblets? You got a cat that eats driblets? No.
Okay. Mm. All right.
But let's go to education, okay?
Education, all right, Carl.
I think each community will have 6 schools. They each have the same curriculum, and they compete on who can do the paperwork the best. But the best thing about it is nobody pays no property tax or income tax. It's paid for by pre-vouchers.
Oh, wait a minute. That sounds like Senator Gravel's medical.
No, he got prebates. You know,
pre-vouchers. Pre-vouchers.
They get a voucher till they get the real one, and it buys us some time to pay for the program.
I see.
But the $63.95 question is, how do we pay for it?
How do we pay for it?
Well, the taxpayers don't pay a dime.
Yeah.
Consumers do. We save the planet, you know.
That's right.
But my tax is different. It's a flat rate consumption tax.
Yeah.
No matter what you buy, you pay $20 tax. If it's a gallon of milk, you pay $20 extra. You buy a new Mercedes, it's $20 extra. And it's the fair system to everyone, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, that sounds real fair.
It's a lot better than the other ones working on, because you don't know what to expect when you're going in, but with mine, you do.
Yeah, you know exactly. So a $20 value-added tax onto everything.
That you know what you're getting into before you buy it. Mm-hmm.
That's true. But, oh, my God, it's so simple, Carl.
It's easy when you think about it. And I'm working on... I'm sorry.
Yeah, well...
I'm working on policy about my military and concerning the wars.
Yeah.
I have to do some deep thinking. So I met at breakfast this morning with General Mills and Captain Crunch. And I plan to meet with Colonel Sanders tomorrow dinner. So I'll announce my plans as we develop.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I'm sure it'll be a very interesting meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to help you formulate
my military plans for Iraq.
For Iraq? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, they change the name. They pronounce it every week. Mm-hmm.
I know they do, don't they?
And you know, I'm tired and fed up with these guys.
Yeah.
I'm going to reconstitute habeas corpus.
You are?
Yeah, I believe it's good that the buyer beware. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not exactly what habeas corpus means, but that's okay.
I'm going to have to talk to my advisor to give me good advice again. And
yeah. Well, Carl, would you like to be the decider? Is that what you're saying here?
Oh, no, the people need to decide on letting me decide.
I see.
You know.
Yeah,
I'm not like Bush. He comes sometimes. He loses focus. I think he's got HDTV or something. You know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you can get HDTV if you're in a stressful situation.
Ritalin or something, huh?
Ritalin. Yeah.
Yeah, for that.
Yeah.
Can I make one final request before I go?
Oh, I hope so.
I dig your polka music. Can you play I Don't Want Her? You can have her. She's too fat for me.
I remember that one. That's a great song, Carl.
Can you do that?
Maybe Monday night.
I'll be lurking in the room for it. Mm-hmm.
I'll bet you will. Thanks, Carl.
Have a good evening.
All right. You take care. Man makes me nervous, even when I'm in Seattle and he's in Columbus. Soul Sling Blade. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is NoVam Radio.
It's about 25 before the hour. The Molloy Program on Nova M Radio. And again tonight, coming to you from Seattle, from the KPTK studios, CBS Infinity Broadcasting. Let's go back to some phone calls here. Will, who is calling from Michigan, has been holding on forever. I always leave you on hold forever, don't I, Will?
Yeah, I put up with it, though.
How was your trip back?
Oh, it was great. After had lunch with you and Kathy and Molly, the next day we had more workshops to go to. I went to one that was held by the Iraq Veterans Against the War, and met some really wonderful people. Adam Kokesh, he was in Civil Affairs Division of the Marine Corps in Fallujah.
Mm-hmm.
And he was an inactive reservist who got in trouble for protesting in uniform.
Yeah, let me explain. What Will is talking about is the USA Social Forum that was held in Atlanta a couple of weekends ago. It went on for about 4 days with literally scores of workshops. And there were about 10,000 delegates who came from all over the country. And Will came down with his honey on a motorcycle all the way from Lansing.
Lansing, yeah.
Yeah, Lansing, Michigan. So, and we got together for, it was a quick lunch, and I apologize for that, but we had that wonderful little three-year-old with us, and she was starting to pick up handfuls of salad, so I figured it was time to go. So anyway, do you feel that you got from that conference what you set out to get?
Yeah, I've been kind of lost as an activist trying to figure out what I can do other than standing on a street corner with a sign in my hand. And
Yeah.
I met those wonderful veterans who were speaking out against the war that they participated in, I decided that I was going to get into counter recruitment and prevent kids from making the same mistakes I did as going into the military blindly, sense of patriotic duty and a promise of college money that I never got.
How's this counter recruitment idea going to work, Will?
Well, I hope to be able to get some time to talk to high school students when the school year begins in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to get involved with a local group here called the Youth and Military Task Force.
Mm-hmm.
And see about getting some access into the school since the recruiters are already there. We may as well have equal access.
Is that the way it works in Michigan? Because some states, believe it or not, or maybe it's not states, maybe it's various county school boards. Certainly, this is true in Georgia. Prevent anti-war or anti-military spokespersons from coming on campus. They will allow a Marine recruiter or an Army recruiter, but if you are wanting to explain to kids there's a better way to serve your country, if that's what you're really into, is serving your country, then go get an education. That's a first start.
Right.
The first thing to do. And then maybe devote a couple of years to domestic peace corps, or there's so many other ways to do it than killing other people and blowing stuff up. So,
exactly.
Do you have access to schools in Michigan?
There's a law in Michigan that any publicly funded institution, such as a public school or a public library, has to allow equal access.
Well, that's a good.
If they allow the recruiters into the schools, they have to allow people to talk about alternatives to the military.
Well, that's a good law, and that's a good idea, and I'll look forward to that in the fall to see how you're doing, because I'm sure you will come across some very strange events and happenings in trying to get into schools to talk kids out of going off to kill in the name of George Bush.
I've had a lot of experience with interesting situations. We had one today at the weekly peace vigil where a couple of regular participants in the vigil disagreed with another group that came to do some street theater.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I was in favor of letting them do what they wanted to do, and you know, I felt it was their constitutional right, and these people were wanting to start a turf war over it.
Oh God.
And I'm like, come on, we're supposed to be against war. Let's not start a little war of our own here.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Will, keep me posted, all right? Let us know how it goes, and be careful on that motorcycle.
Yeah, definitely. I've been riding motorcycles since I was 12 years old, so.
I understand. Does Michigan have a helmet law?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. God, I sound like your old man. All right. Thanks, Will. Take care.
Okay, you too.
All right. Motorcycles make me a little nervous, I guess. I don't know. Okay. Roberta. Roberta is calling from, where's Roberta? In San Diego, listening on KLSD. Hey, Roberta.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm okay. You know, I'm wondering why we can't start having impeachment rallies every Sunday all across the country until we get it done. I mean, like every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 p.m. in every town and every city from Seattle to Washington, D.C., all of us united together every Sunday until we get them all out of our White House, signs, bullhorns, live music, common folks to movie stars and musicians, old and young, all of us out in the street of America every Sunday. Like, we demand the immediate resignation of George Bush, Dick Cheney, Karl Rove, and friends. Get out of our White House. We've had enough. And bring our troops home. You know, why can't we just do that every Sunday until they're just out of there?
Well, we can. As a matter of fact, that's what Cenk Uygur of the Young Turks and Wesley Clark Jr., the general's son, that's the idea they came up with. You get a T-shirt, one of your old T-shirts, and you just write on the front of it the word "enough." That's all. And then you, or you and one other person, just on Sunday from noon to one, no matter where you live, just wear the T-shirt, and you don't have to do anything except wear the T-shirt. Now, if it develops into something where, you know, bands want to come play and people want to get together, I mean, I'm all for it. I came out the other night as totally against any further anti-war demonstrations, excuse me, because for the obvious reason, they're not effective. They dissipate energy that could be better used maybe doing something like what you're talking about, organizing people to stay in their local communities and do it there. You know, these mass protest marches in D.C. and San Francisco and New York and Dallas and Detroit, where they're like huge vacuum sweepers that just suck up people from all over the country. Obviously, they're not effective. They don't work. They don't even happen anymore because the media don't report them. And you know, if it's not on television, it never happened, right?
Right.
Well, I like your idea. Everybody stay home and do it.
Yeah, it just seems like we just have to be diligent and we have to get out on the streets because I don't think anything else is going to work. I don't think anything else is going to work.
Well, again, I like your idea because it's local. And as far as getting in the streets, I said the other night, I will get in the streets again, but only as part of a general strike to just shut down the entire United States until somebody pays attention to us.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, I hear you. All right, Roberta, thanks. I appreciate
you
checking in. All right, take care. Enough. We who told us? Oh, yeah, it was our military correspondent. I hope Sharon doesn't mind. I call our North Metro Atlanta correspondent, who now has the title of our chief military correspondent because of all the stuff that she sends that we use on this program regarding, usually, sadly, how soldiers and Marines and airmen are just royally screwed while they're in service and when they come out by this Bush crime family. And she's the one that turned me on to the idea. She heard it. Wesley Clark Jr. was on The Young Turks. And they came up with the idea of the T-shirt that just said enough. So I made one. Have you? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. For the hour, the Malloy program. All right, let's go back to your phone calls here. Sarge is calling from Mississippi. Sarge, I thought you had moved to Arizona.
Yeah, I went down to Mississippi this week. I did my show Sunday morning from Mississippi and went down there on a little project where we're trying to institute some health care, self-help programs to try and help the people because the professional people are stressed out. Yeah. And there's just not enough services to go around. The situation is just really so desperate. Suicide rates up around 300%. And alcoholism is way up. Teen alcohol is way up. Health problems are way up, which is what I really called to talk about to you.
Okay.
I heard your report about the Surgeon General saying that they were limited on what they could say and stuff and all that.
Right.
And, Mike, there's a lot of that going on in Mississippi. I saw sicko before I left Phoenix to, make this trip. And, when I got to Mississippi, I thought about sicko and the scenes of the medical malfeasance. And I thought, wow, it's even worse here than Michael Moore portrayed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mike, it's really horrible. It's so horrible that once, I get back to Phoenix, there's no way I'm going back to Mississippi ever again. It's just the people are just so stressed out, and you can get shot over anything now.
Oh, God.
And there's diseases that they don't even know. The doctors don't know how to treat them, and they're not allowed to report a lot of these diseases.
What the hell is wrong with Republican Governor Haley Barbour, who used to head the Republican National Committee and was a big lobbyist to bring lots of Chinese money in the Republican Party? What's wrong with Governor Barbour?
I think you just hit it, Republican.
Oh, well, that's...
He has this program, Mike, where he's just trying to make it a Tier 1 tourist trap. And the little people just don't matter. The homes are not getting built back. People like Jim Yancey, whose 100 mm-hmm. Homes in 100 Days project, is actually building homes. He's doing everything he can to get in the way of those. Mm-hmm. So he just really has no care about the little people. And the health care and mental health care is so it's in such a state now, Mike, that I can't believe it. You can get me there, and it won't take people 10 minutes to get mad at you.
I hear you.
It's just atrocious, but I do want to thank you for helping me get the word out so much. I know I got my own show, but and I want you on it one day.
I'll be happy to be on your program one day.
I would love to have you on.
I think you probably get a hell of a lot better guests than me. Get people who can actually do something. All I do is sit around and talk about stuff.
Well, Mike, you've been very instrumental. Don't downgrade your contributions.
Well, okay. if you say so, boss.
Mike, I love you, man. Thank you so much.
All right, Sarge, take it easy. Bye-bye. I appreciate you checking in. I pick up the paper in Atlanta at least once every couple of weeks. They'll have another feature story in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution about the situation in New Orleans. I never read anything about Mississippi Gulf Coast. Occasionally in New York Times there might be something, but on top of all the atrocities this filthy Bush administration has committed against Americans, against Iraqis, against the entire world, I get stunned when I read about what has happened here in our own country. The entire Mississippi Gulf Coast area, whether it's New Orleans, from New Orleans all the way around to the area Sarge is talking about, in the state of Mississippi, and how the people have just been absolutely, completely, totally abandoned. 70,000 residents in New Orleans who lived in rental housing, which is not going to be rebuilt, lived in rental housing that somebody owned, charging people a couple hundred dollars a month to live there in these low-lying areas. But it was home. And you read about these stories, the kids and the old people and the middle-aged folks, too. But especially the kids and the old people who are just totally displaced. Everything's gone. You know, your doctor's gone. Your school is gone. Your playmates are gone. Your toys are gone. And where are you now? You used to live in a neighborhood with, your auntie across the street and your grandmother three blocks over and your mother and father over there and that big extended family. Where are you now? You're living in some trailer, some FEMA trailer someplace in a place called, pick a name, Renaissance Village with 500 other trailers and suffocating, and there's no jobs because you're living out in the middle of nowhere. And yeah, they send a bus out 3 days a week to pick people up to take you into town so you can go to the Piggly Wiggly or wherever you go to buy your groceries, and you just sit there and your life has been totally blown to pieces. And the children that this has happened to and the old people that this has happened to are just not even on the map. I mean, literally nobody cares. Nobody cares. And when you try to do something, as a private citizen like Sarge did, you can get your mind just so twisted into anguish that it's hard to go back. I can't believe this has happened in my country. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Program coming to you tonight from Seattle, from KPTK, our Seattle affiliate. And thanks to the people here for providing the facilities for us. If you are listening in Seattle, I hope you're going to be at the Seattle Town Hall meeting tomorrow night at starting what, 7:30, I believe, local time, 7:30. There are going to be a lot of famous radio hosts there from the liberal side, and me. And I'm probably going to wear my new T-shirt. All right, we've kind of been all over the map here. Let's just go back to some phone calls, okay? Let's start with Steve, who is in California listening on the Quake. Hey, Steve, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. How are you? Welcome back.
Thanks.
Sam Cedar did great, but he didn't scream for us like you do.
I love Sam. Sam's my man.
I know. Isn't he good?
He is. He's absolutely. I listened to him last night. The reason he substituted for me, I had to had a real early flight this morning, so... But I've got these speakers that Kathy bought me. I hook up this little device to the internet streaming, and then I can take these nice speakers anywhere in the house, and it's just absolute broadcast quality radio. So
cool.
I put the speakers beside the bed last night, listened to Sam for about an hour and a half, and I thought, damn, this guy's. There's something about Sam's voice that reminds me of home. I don't know what it is, but
he's just a natural, you know.
He's just so natural, just like you know, sitting around a couple of white guys talking. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Yeah. But anyway, you didn't call about Sam. What's up, Mark?
Well, actually, have you been to that 911weknow.com site?
I've been to so many, but I don't think I've been to that one.
Well, it breaks down. It's approximately a 3-hour BBC documentary about the Twin Towers and how they come down.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody has any questions about the demolition of the towers, they need to go to 911weknow.com and it'll spell it out directly. I mean, they have, you know, proof, video proof, they break it down. And after I saw that, there's absolutely no question in my mind that those buildings were brought down demolition style. But I guess my main point is back to Giuliani. In that documentary, prior to the buildings coming down, the towers coming down, he says, mm-hmm. "Well, I guess we have to get out of here because those buildings are coming down."
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is, why wasn't he in his fortified fortress in Building 7, which was later dropped, as they call it, pulled? You know, the building came down in 6 seconds. He had a prior knowledge that those buildings were going to come down.
It seems like a lot of people had prior knowledge that.
Absolutely.
You know, I can't. If I stop and devote too much time, and I'm sorry to say this, but if I devote too much time to thinking about this, I'm afraid I'll lose my mind.
Well, I know. You know, absolutely. It's been at the top of my mind. I'm thinking about it constantly, and it just shows you how scary these people will go. You know, how far they'll go to, to contain their power. You know, for their power. And they did mention Marvin Bush.
His company had the security on.
That's right, at Dulles and at the Twin Towers, and George's cousin, somebody named Walker, last name Walker. You know, George Walker, Herbert Walker Bush, got
right,
cousin.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He also had security at those buildings at the time. But if anybody has a chance to watch the documentary, it's great.
What's the website again?
It's 911weknow.com.
911weknow.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also on Giuliani, Giuliani, why did he lose the Gotti? How did he lose the Gotti trials? I think he had 3 of them.
Probably didn't prosecute too hard.
Yeah, that's it, exactly.
I think you're right. Hey, Steve, thanks for checking in.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. All right, thank you, and take care. Yeah, you know, you can only go so far. We were talking about rage fatigue a couple of weeks ago, and what Steve just brought up is, to me, is a perfect example. To be enraged about what happened on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, to be enraged about for the first time in our history, we invade a country that has done nothing to us because we're going to go in and steal their resources. I mean, like a filthy daytime thief who just comes into your house with guns blazing to take what is not theirs. You know, the rage of so much that this filthy, disgusting administration has done. The rage where it concerns our legal system. The rage where that comes up when you realize that we are now a country that sanctions torture and rendition. And we own a gulag now, just like the Soviet Union did. And George Bush insists that his name is three times mentioned on every page, anything the Surgeon General. I mean, it just goes on and on. But for me to stop and think, I mean, really, and this is why I haven't done it, because I know what my limits are. You probably know yours, too. I know where my limits are. To stop and consider, coldly, calculatedly, to sit down with the computer, with the pencil and paper, for me to do this, and really, really open up my mind to the idea that this filthy, corrupt administration actually engineered one way or another what occurred in this country on September 11, 2001. I can't do that. Because I know what would happen to me. I mean, I would just complete. I wouldn't be able to contain it. I wouldn't be able to. Sometimes I think the only thing that prevents me from really going berserk on that is the fact that I have a 3-year-old, and I can't go berserk. I mean berserk, insanely, just filled with rage, just running through the streets of Atlanta, heading for I don't know where, but with all sorts of mischief in mind, if you know what I mean. But I've got a 3-year-old who just her presence prevents me from doing that. But the rage that I can feel tickling around the edges of my consciousness when any time, you know, I try to publicize the websites, I've made it very clear what my position is on what occurred in this country on that infamous date. Very simply, I don't believe the official story. I don't know what did happen, but I no more believe Bush on this than I believe him on anything. But I can't go beyond that because when I do, I get into something that I don't think I would be able to handle. In terms of just absolute screaming, frothing at the mouth, out of control rage. Can't do it. So, that's kind of that story. Let's take a break. We shall return here, and if you guys stick around, we'll talk with Toby and Kevin and Edie and Mark and Dave. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. It's about 21 past the hour. Let's go right back to your phone calls. Toby is calling from San Francisco, listening on the Quake. Hey, Toby, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Fair to partly cloudy. How are you?
Oh, I got such fatigue rage.
Fatigue rage?
You
mean rage fatigue? Or
no.
What? No?
That's my point. I can't even say it anymore. Listen.
I'm listening.
I wanted to say something in response to about the doctor.
Oh, Carbona, the old one, or Holsinger, the new one?
Oh, all of them.
All of them? Okay.
Okay. Since we're truth seekers.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought I would read, and feel free to chime in, hint, hint. I want to read you the oath of attorney.
How long is it?
It's about a minute.
Go ahead.
I'll try to read fast.
Okay.
I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the state of whatever. I will maintain the respect due to courts of justice and judicial officers. I will not counsel or maintain any suit or proceedings which shall appear to me to be unjust, nor any defense except such as I believe to be honestly debatable under the law of the land. I will employ for the purposes of maintaining the causes confided to me, which means only as are consistently with truth and honor, and will never seek to mislead the judge or jury by any artifice or false statement.
Okay. All right. You don't have to go any further, Toby. I get it. When I hear you read something like that, and I think about the attorneys who, let's start
with.
They
took that oath.
Yeah, they did, didn't they? I'm sure Gonzalez took that oath, right?
Oh, and he also agreed to maintain the confidence and preserve.
Oh, can't forget that.
And what about, you know, he also took the oath to abstain from all offensive personality and advance no fact prejudicial to the honor or reputation.
Are you about to scream?
No. And the last line is, and they've had lawsuits about those four words, so help me, you know who.
Yeah.
I will never reject from any consideration personal to myself the cause of the defenseless or oppressed or delay anyone's cause for lucre or malice.
Excuse me.
I know. I was kind of, when I said I was told you screener, I was going to read you the oath of attorney. I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse. What do you think?
It sounds good.
I mean, they make you stand there. And did you know almost every single state in the country, you got to fly in, you got to be there, and you got to raise your hands.
Yeah.
And all those right-wingers out there that are secretly listening to you,
yeah.
I defy them to find anything wrong with what this oath is.
Well, sure. No,
I challenge them.
But they won't take the challenge. But I hear you, Toby. No, it sounds very, very, very good.
I mean, and you had that ACLU attorney, God lover. And I mean, oh, not God. I mean, the Constitution lover.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's the oath that these folks take. And I don't know how you deal with your rage. I'm beyond Meshuggy. I can't remember if I'm fatigued or outraged or both.
You got to stop thinking. Just for a while. What you need to do is on Saturday and Sunday, you allow yourself not to think.
Oh, you know what I do?
Yeah?
Don't ask. I walk around going, torture is a sin. Torture is a sin.
No. Just don't think. Just do something that feels good on Saturday and Sunday. Just don't think.
Oh, I turn. Don't you have one of those bush clocks?
No, I don't have a. Oh, you mean the countdown clock? No.
Yeah.
No, I can't. I can't do any of that on Saturday and Sunday. I don't think.
But I don't have any little Molly.
No, I don't. Well, you can find other ways to not think. You know?
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
Empty mind, you know.
Yeah, well, we'll have to take me over the cup. I read Jewish haiku. What can I tell you?
Oh, my God. That makes you really think. Stop thinking.
What? Be here now. Be someplace later. Is that so complicated?
That's it. All
good
right.
Night.
Good night, Toby. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate what you had to say. No, that's the truth. I do the same thing. Too much thinking. You have to stop. That's what you know. Mindful meditation's all about. Just empty your head. Our associate producer in Phoenix, Ian, he empties his head all the time. Stick around, Truth Seekers. Quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Got an email here from our friends over at pbsblog.com. PBS has nothing to do with public broadcasting, but it's pbsblog.com. And the message says, I'll have the T-shirts with the word enough up and ready for people tonight if they want one. Come to pbsblog.com, and they'll find a link tonight. Okay. So check it out, pbsblog.com. I think most of you are familiar with that website. We've talked about it before. It's a good site. A lot of good stuff there. All right, back to your phone calls. Sarah is calling from America, Texas. Hey, Sarah. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi. How are you, Sarah?
Oh, well, I'm eating my veggie booty, and I'm playing with my toy train.
Oh, don't.
I can't stop licking this crayon, no, and I'm kind of sleepy.
Yeah, I'll bet you are. You probably have stomach cramps, too.
Yeah.
Hey, you shouldn't even touch anything that, I mean, you make your own call, but right now I am just paranoid about anything that comes from China. Just absolutely. And I got to tell you, I was at a TJ Maxx store the other day buying some T-shirts, and they had a discount table up by the checkout, and, 80% off or whatever. Well, I always go and take a look at those tables because you never know what you're going to find. And all I found there were a Thomas the Train, little train sets, and all kinds of stuff made in China with, I'm sure, PCB lead-loaded paint. God, it's just astonishing. And don't eat veggie booty.
No. My mom won't let me touch anything made in China.
Well, that's a very, very good thing right now. You know they executed one of their ministers who was supposed to oversee all this and was taken like hundreds of thousands of dollars in bribes. You know that story, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Chinese are killing people left and right.
Well, you know what's ironic? After they executed the head of their Food and Drug Administration, so-called, they probably sold his organs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's scary, you know.
It's a hell of a topic to be having with a 14-year-old this late in the evening. But anyway, Sarah, what you really called about is...
I have a bit of a challenge for you. Now, I love you dearly. You are one of the only people who give me hope for my future.
Here comes the but. Go ahead. But.
Well, no, not at all. I also feel hope when I saw Gravel in the presidential debate. So what I'd like to do is over the weekend, we both go to his website and just see what he was really talking about.
Well, no, that was the whole point of having him on the other night for an hour and a half, almost 2 hours. I don't have anybody on my program that long. Never have. And I put him on, Sarah. I went to his website. I read everything at his website. And I thought, you know, this sounds like it was not written by Mike Gravel. I don't know why. And when we started the interview, I said to him, hey, listen, I've been to your website and I've read everything there. Man, it sounds great. Sign me up. And everything went to hell from that point on. And I came away from that interview with a full understanding that while this guy may have a couple of good ideas, I'm not saying he doesn't. Newt Gingrich has a couple of good ideas, so what?
No, he doesn't.
All right, I don't mean, I mean Bob Barr. All right, Bob Barr, who defines right-wing insanity, he still has some good ideas about civil liberties. So, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day. But as far as I'm concerned, Mike Gravel is just simply not the person that I'm interested in supporting. You know, your guy down there in Texas, Ron Paul, he has some good ideas too, but I wouldn't support
Ron
him
Paul,
either.
No, he's a conservative.
Well,
I think what Gravel was trying to say was really good, but I don't think he was saying it right. I also think that you two were kind of bouncing off of each other. You know what I mean? And like he was talking over you. But I think the two of you were kind of bouncing off each other.
Sarah, with all due respect, I disagree. I gave the man every opportunity to just state his case. I even had to stop the conversation and say, look, you know, I'm not stupid and neither is my audience, but what you're saying doesn't make any sense. Now, and I kept asking him over and over again, give us a simple explanation that we can understand. And he either couldn't or wouldn't. So no, I'll tell you what, Sarah, I am utterly, absolutely, totally, completely finished with Mike Gravel. I found what he had to say kind of interesting. I had lots of people email me and say, you gotta give this guy some airtime, you gotta listen to this guy. Okay, fair enough. And he had more time on my program than I think I've ever given to anybody about anything. I may be wrong, but if he didn't have more time, he damn sure came close to it. And I just I've had enough of Mike Gravel. If you see things that you think are appealing or attractive, then keep pushing the issue, but not me, sweetie. I'm finished.
Okay, well then we'll just have to draft Al Gore.
Drop who?
Draft Al Gore.
Draft Al Gore. Okay, now we're talking. Or how long has it been since you've been to Dennis Kucinich's website?
I do need to do that.
Yes, you do.
He's just divine too.
Yeah, go to Dennis Kucinich's website and then after you read what Kucinich is about, realize that in that interview I had with Gravel, he more or less said that Dennis Kucinich wasn't worth a hill of snot. So
Well, right. How many times do I have to call you to make sure that we go to the same concentration camp together?
You passed that a long time ago, young lady. Thanks, Sarah.
Okay.
Take care. I got to go. I appreciate you checking in. You take care, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Have a nice weekend. That's an interesting 14-year-old kid. I like Sarah. Okay, Kevin. Kevin is calling from Washington, D.C., listening on the Internet. Hey, Kevin.
Hi, Mike.
Kevin, hold on just a second. We're going to have to try to get you some other way because you're just staticking all over the place, and I can't get you on. Edie is calling from Montgomery, Alabama, listening on the Internet. Hey, Edie.
Well, hi, Mike. I saw earlier this evening on Bill Moyer's journal.
Uh-huh.
He had Bruce Fine, you know, the right-wing guy that was with Reagan.
Right. He's the one that was so intent on getting Clinton.
And John Nichols, who writes for The Nation.
Right.
And they laid out beautifully why these two thugs should be impeached.
Mm-hmm.
So I just encourage anybody that wasn't planning to watch it this weekend to catch it and TiVo it if necessary, because they lay it out very eloquently and elegantly, and they know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. And so, and I try to catch that show anyway, because it's one of the few things on TV worth watching. And since the commander guy has decided to be the psychology guy too now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He's talking about our psyches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's such an expert on everything.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, a real Renaissance man.
Oh, indeed.
Well, there's a term that real psychologists and psychiatrists use, and it suits that whole crime family to a T: malignant narcissist.
Yeah, that's a good term.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll just leave you with that, and have a great weekend to the Malloys and to Ian. He's really adorable.
I'll pass it on. Thanks,
Ian. All right. Good night, Mike.
All right. Appreciate you checking in. Malignant narcissism. Yeah. Uh-huh. Dave is calling from Buffalo, New York. Dave is listening via Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Dave.
Hello, Mike. Hey, I kind of called to find out your opinion on Mike Gravel, but I kind of got a little gist of how you feel about him.
You didn't hear hear the interview the other night?
No, I did. I heard the first 40 minutes. I got up to the first caller, and then I had to go to a job site, and I had to leave the radio. So.
Well, you can download the program, you know, if you want to. If you're a founding member, just go to novamradio.com, and it's there.
My computer is at the public library.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I go there for it. I got so frustrated with my computer one day. I unscrewed all the bolts on the computer and I started stabbing it with a screwdriver. I said, "You won't screw up my life one more minute." So I got so frustrated with it. And then I parked it outside and I walked away from it because it was tying up so much of my life, and I had to move on or something because it just. I had enough, you know.
It'll make you crazy. Hey, hold on, Dave. I got to do a break.
Thank you.
And I'll try to answer you when we come back. Quick break. We'll be back. Oh, my gosh. We're almost finished with the program. Time just rips by when you're having fun, doesn't it? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is NovaM Radio. To everybody who made the show workable tonight, Ian Huff, who co-produced and engineered the program in Phoenix, Tyler Storrs, who engineered the program here in Seattle, Billy Foster, our CIO, who else? Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, and of course our executive producer, Kathy Bay. All right, back to Dave in Buffalo, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Now, where were we?
Talking about me walking away from my computer, it actually freed up my mind. It took about a month of decompression, but I live a life of peace now.
That sounds like something I like to do when I grow up. But you wanted to ask me about Gravel.
I did, and I've heard about him on other programs, and I've enjoyed what he had to say, and it was a little confusing. It didn't seem like he was himself that night. And I wanted to hear what you had to say. You had him on for a long time, and I want to thank you for that, because it seems like Hillary and
Obama.
No, yeah, they want to declassify or get rid of the third party from any more debates, and you certainly offered him some time, even though I didn't get a chance to hear it. I just told
what was the young lady's name who just called? Sarah. Like I told her, after listening to the guy, it's time to move on. There's nothing there to see. I'm not saying he doesn't have a couple of good ideas, but if that's the best he can do in explaining his ideas, then sorry.
It seems like a lot of other candidates, though, it's like Martin Luther King, we have a dream. And a dream is a state of dreamy meditation, and what the Democrats offer us is fanciful musing. And that's a dream. And it's never acquirable. They put it out there so far, and it's so pie in the sky, Al Gore, and they have all these speeches, and nothing ever seems to be obtainable. And it's nothing, it's so far out there, and they never get anything done. And I just want a fire stomper. I want someone out there changing the world and making new decisions. You know what? There's another election, and we can change things if things don't go well. And I'm not canceling out Dennis Kucinich, but I'm certainly we have a bunch of more months in front of us for Mike Gravel. I know Dennis will be there.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Let's see what happens to Gravel in the next 12, 14 months. See if anything materializes. Dave, I have to leave it there. I appreciate you checking in, but as far as I'm concerned, you don't need to be a weatherman to figure out which way the wind is blowing. You just don't. And that certainly holds true for me where it concerns Mike Gravel. Sorry. I know he has a lot of fans that listen to this program. Here's another Dave. This one is listening in Chicago, Illinois, via XM satellite radio. Hey, Dave, welcome to the program.
How's it going, Mike? I wanted to tell you about this idea that I had and I've already put into use here. For well over a year now, I've been wearing this shirt around, and I leave a conversation wake everywhere I go. People walk up to me and just start talking to me. At the top, it says Republican in dictionary script, and the rest of the caption as if it's the description. Uh-huh. Anti-informationist, anti-intellectual, truth challenged, fact allergic, propaganda victimized, war profiteering, brainwashed, political hacks, and on the back end. Stay out of politics. And it's amazing. The people just walk right up to me. It's fabulous. I'll be happy to send you one. You can check it out. I'll just, be happy to give one to you.
Sure.
As many as you want.
Send me an email, and I'll send you my mailing address. I'd love to get one. How many fist fights have you been in since you've been wearing that?
How many what? Fights?
Fights. Fight. Yeah.
None.
Yeah.
I have never lost an argument yet with a right winger.
Yeah.
Never. It's amazing.
Well, you certainly have my respect because for that part of it, because I can't even talk to these people anymore.
Oh, I can, and I win all day long. You know how you watch two guys arm wrestling, and one guy just they grab hands in the middle, and then one is just completely overpowering, and boom, like that.
Right.
That's how I win arguments every time. It's so much fun, and thanks to people like you and Randy Rhodes and everybody else that has that I've learned from. So thanks. I'll send you out an email.
Send me an email, Dave. I'd love to see it. I may have seen those before, but I'd love to see what you got. Who we got here? Michael is calling from Angola, Indiana, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
It's going pretty good.
You were talking earlier about Katrina and the devastation in the South.
Right.
There were so many failures on so many different government levels, from the city to the state to the federal.
Yes.
I don't get upset by much. I'm just cold-hearted.
Mm.
Not really, but when I saw those fleet of school buses flooded out. And those school buses, I don't know, they could seat probably 45, 50, 60 people.
You know,
in an emergency like that, you pack the damn thing full.
I know. The bottom line, Michael, I got to leave it there. I appreciate it. The bottom line for me, I think, on the serious thing, I'm sorry, on the Katrina thing, the Katrina devastation to this country was that it was such a massive failure. Not on the part. I would disagree with anyone who said the city of New Orleans failed, the leadership in the city failed, or the leadership in the state failed. That would be, to me, like saying the leadership of Hiroshima and Nagasaki failed before the bombs dropped. That was such a devastating, incredibly unexpected horror in the whole Gulf Coast area that it required a competent, workable federal government before, during, and after. And such a government was not available. Hey, thanks for participating in the program tonight, however you did that. I'll see you Monday night. Take care. Have a great weekend. If you're in the Seattle area, I'll see you tomorrow night. Oh, and have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are. Keep it lit, truth seekers.